This is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
Oh, I love that. It is a choice to rejoice. And we choose and we celebrate that. I don't do that each week just because I think, oh, it's kind of cool and catchy. I do it because I think we have to remind ourselves, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, an hour from now, I hope you don't drive out and think, oh, I'm grumpy already because some car went zooming past me or something. But it's a reminder. It starts our day off saying, this is a day that the Lord has made. You see, tomorrow's coming, but we're not guaranteed to be in it. Okay? Tomorrow's coming. We're not guaranteed to be in it. Let's make today count. Amen? All right. Well, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're just going to be there for a brief minute. That's going to be our opening scripture today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you turn there, I just want to ask, does anybody else like reading obituaries? I know it seems kind of strange, but there's some odd ones out there. An old Aunt Tilly, she was a mystic one, and she had the elves out in her garden. And I'm going off the best memory, but this is pretty accurate of one I recently read. And Aunt Tilly, I'm changing the name, of course, Aunt Tilly loved her strawberries. And she was known for her radish garden. And all these things. And then at the very end, officiating the service, Reverend so-and-so at such and such. And it used to be these things were filled with, and Miss Tilly or Aunt Tilly loved the Lord. And she was saved at the age of 6. And she was baptized at the age of 6. And she served the Lord all these years. And it was just flowing and glowing with this person who loved the Lord and served faithfully for years and years and brought her kids up and her grandkids up in the faith. And all of a sudden we're transitioning and we're talking about known for their great roses that she's won the State Fair Prize for umpteen years. And everybody loves Aunt Tilly's pumpkin pie. And at the very end, all we have is officiating is Reverend so-and-so. And there's nothing really about the Lord or their faith other than maybe so-and-so went to be with the Lord. But there's no talk about that. The glorification is on the worldly things and not their faith and the things that mattered most when Aunt Tilly died. And that's where she spends eternity. She just spent several years here. But she spends eternity in heaven. This particular person did, according to it, because it did say she went to be with the Lord and then went on and talked about everything else but that. I want us to think about, a couple weeks ago, we talked about fighting with conviction for our faith. Remember that? 2 whole weeks ago. Fighting with conviction for our faith. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. I'm going to read that. And it says, and I've read this many times, and I love this, but this is a springboard for our sermon today. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. They're gone. And I know Ash Wednesday service, we had a group over here and a group over here and a group back here, and we rotated. And that was one of the questions. Are you afraid of something old passing away? Not a person, but a thing, an idea, something you've done, a tradition. Old things have passed away. But he says, behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God, who is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And again, one of my favorite verses, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So in that scripture, Paul is writing to the early church in Corinth that God is the ultimate judge for all of creation. And he's trying to tell us to be reconciled to God. He says we should live in a manner, now listen carefully, we should live in a manner or in a way that not only reflects our faith, but listen to this, but live in a way that convinces others to do the same. We're his ambassador. He's using us for his cause. We should live in a manner and fight with conviction our faith. Live in a manner that reflects our faith, but live in a manner that other people say, what is it about Mr. and Mrs. Jones? I love them. I want us to live in a way that convinces others to live that same way in Christ. This is out of love. It's out of reverence. It's out of fear of the Lord. You don't have to turn there, but in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 5, where we just were, he basically says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others to fear the Lord as well. That's the gist of verse 11. Because we know that, we're trying to convince other people. Now, as ambassadors of Christ, we're to continue his work here on earth. So when Aunt Tilly passes away, Aunt Tilly can now glorify her life in Christ. Not boasting on her worldly things, but boasting in Christ. And who and what she is in Christ. Who and what we are in Christ. Now turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. That's where we'll spend most of today, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I just want us to think as we read, as we listen, as we went through Ash Wednesday service, we talk about having more in 24. And having more in 24 isn't about worldly possessions necessarily. It's about our faith. I talked about, I want us to have an individual spiritual awakening in 24. I want more. I want us all to be hungry for the Word. What does this mean? Where did you find this? Is that God's Word? Was that translation accurate? Because I've heard people say this. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, someone came to me and said, a pastor said, you just pray once and you leave it there. Anything else, you're not trusting God. I thought, no, that's not what the Bible says. And I told you guys, the Bible says, with what? With prayer and supplication. That means that we're begging God. That we're pleading with Him. So we have to know what the Word says. To have more, we have to study more. We have to ask more. We have to share more. And we have to be open more. Oh, I'm going to be talking about being open here in just a minute. Being open to God's Word. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're just going to read verse 1 through 7 right now, but we'll be going through the whole chapter. Not the whole book, just the whole chapter of chapter 3. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could see no more, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. Interesting, it says, while Eli's laying down, the Lord is calling Samuel. It says, here I am. He answered him. Samuel answered and said, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and he lay down. Verse 6, then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call. My son, lie down again. Look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So those first seven verses, it says the word of the Lord in this time frame was very rare. They didn't hear from people. It says there was no widespread revelation from God. The Old Testament had a lot of different ways that God spoke to people and through people. But at this time, there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. Verse 7, what we just read says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the Lord, word of the Lord revealed to him. I'm going to jump to another chapter, but let's keep reading for just a minute. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. And the boy refers to him being a youth, being a young person, very young person. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Let's flip over for just a minute to Acts chapter 9. Keep that place because we're coming right back to it. But let's flip over to Acts chapter 9. And I just think there's a similar story there. The Lord is calling Samuel and he said, hey, here I am. He didn't know the Lord yet, but he said, here I am. Actually, how Samuel responded was, speak, for your servant hears. So he was serving the Lord, but he did not yet know him. Now, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 9, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul is out still beating Christians. He's binding them up and he's dragging them back. He is still against the way. Verse 3, As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he responded and said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuted. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. This is definitely a man that did not yet know the Lord. Just like Samuel. He said, Samuel, Samuel. The Lord now calls out and says, Saul, Saul. God calls people that don't yet know the Lord. And he isn't just calling them to come to him. He's calling them to serve him. Is he still doing that today? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Lord calls him. But think about this. Samuel, when he responded, he said, Lord, here I am, your servant. He had to be open to that calling. Saul responded. Saul is still against them, getting letters, going out and still trying to find them, bind them up, and then bring them back. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? They both knew who the Lord was, but they didn't yet know him personally. Well, they both found a very close relationship with him, Well, Saul also, when his eyes were open, saw no one. But he was obedient, was he not? He had to be open to what God was telling him to do, to the calling of the Lord. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, find where I stopped. I'm sorry. Okay, we stopped in verse 9. Now, verse 10 of 1 Samuel 3 says, "Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. And he said, Samuel, Samuel." Oh, sorry, we read that. "And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears." Verse 11. "Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end." Uh-oh. Sounds like trouble's coming. Against Eli. Uh-oh. Concerning his house from beginning to end. Verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." Uh-oh, parents. "For his sons made themselves vile, and Eli the father did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house," listen carefully, shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." And a lot of times, people would want to make those sacrifices. And God said, "You're at the end. This is my judgment on you and your household. That ship has sailed. Lord, we can bring you offerings. Lord, we can bring you sacrifice. The iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by any sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord has spoken to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Verse 18, "Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." That's a wise man there. It's a troubled man, but it's a wise man. But verse 19, this is what I love. It says, "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall on the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." When he responded to God calling him and saying, "Samuel, I want to use you." So Samuel grew. He was able to grow in his knowledge and grow, I'm sure, in his confidence. I mean, this is a young man, and he's got to go talk to Eli and say, "This is what the Lord has revealed to me." That's hard to do sometimes. Now, let's flip over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Again, Samuel had to be open to hearing God, but then responding to God. Saul had to be open. Well, I say that after the fact. Saul wasn't open before that. But when God made himself known to Saul, he had to be open to how he was going to respond. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And Isaiah, another prophet, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" This is yet another person that was called. Another person that had to be open to respond. God's asking, "Whom shall I send? Who's going to go for us?" Think about mission work. Who's going to go for us? Several weeks ago, Ben Kelly was here. Who's going to go for us to this foreign country and spread the word of God? And Ben stood here and told us, "Here am I, Lord." As a matter of fact, he talked about that scripture. "Here am I, send me." But just like some of these other people, he wasn't open to that 3-4 years ago. It came through maturity, but it came through spiritual maturity and studying the Word of God and understanding who and what he was, but then also listening and being open to what God was telling him. And when God called, he said, "Here am I, send me." And he's over there already doing work. Who shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? Who said, "Here am I, send me"? I will tell my children and grandchildren. Eric talked about that last week. As we spread the knowledge of Christ through the generations, honoring our parents and our grandparents and their faith, but honoring God. Now, is the Lord calling us all to be prophets? No. Some people claim to be prophets when the Lord hasn't called them to be a prophet. Not getting into that today, I'm just saying. But is the Lord calling all of us to be prophets? No. But where we started out today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul reminds us that we are a new creation. I love that reminder. I talk about it often. We are a new creation. I talk about being Christ's ambassador. We're wearing that label on our shirt or our jacket. What's your name? Jesus Christ. Whoo! That's not what I read in the Bible you should be acting like. Because that's who and what we are. We are his representative. We are his ambassador. We are to be Jesus Christ. We're to be the aroma of Christ. When we're near people, that sweet-smelling aroma. What is that I love about being around these people? They're so uplifting. They're encouraging. They're positive. Well, that's the aroma of Christ. You're experiencing a new creation. They had old ways, but old things have passed away, and they understood that, and they acknowledged that. Every now and then they'd go to that trash pile and they'd try and pick up the old thing. Some people, I think, try and be hip. Oh, we're going back to the days of old and trying to pick up the old things. Let it lie. The old things that you lay down when you become a new creation will never come back in style in the life of a believer. It will never be a retro thing to have or to do or to be. The way we act, the words we speak, the places we visit, the people we hang out with, that will never be back in style. Leave it lay there in the trash pile. He tells us we're new creations. We are Christ ambassadors. We are to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at being more and having more And I don't know, it can be whatever you want. Just more than 24 is what I like. It's whatever that means to you. But my prayer for you is that it means more spiritually, more in your faith, more hunger for God's Word, more hunger for fellowship with other believers, more sharing the Word of God with others in your life. Helping urge them and move them into a spiritual awakening. 2024. Living a life in a manner that reflects our faith, but also in a manner that convinces others to do the same, to live the same, to be the same as we are, to be Christ's ambassador. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. But every now and then we have to be reminded of that. And I remind you guys often, because I love it. We're new. You don't have to live in the old life. Why do you keep going back? Why do you keep living in that old life? You're a new creation. You have new faith. You have new courage. You have new strength in Jesus Christ. God is calling us, church. He's calling all the church. Not just prayer of faith. He's calling every church. And He's calling us to return to Him. And He's calling us to fight the fight our faith with conviction. And He's calling us to stand up for what we believe. But He's also calling us to understand what we believe by studying the Word. In the very early days, let me flip back here real quick. The early days, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And there was no widespread revelation. I don't think it always needs to be exciting. Pastor Eric spoke a couple weeks ago, and I reminded you 2 weeks ago, that we preach biblical messages. Man, the internet is crazy with churches that are entertaining people. And I don't mind a little entertainment. I came dressed as Jesus one day. I don't mind a little entertainment. But our services are not here to entertain you. And there's nothing wrong with laughing and having fun. I make jokes. I have a good time. But the internet is just widespread with churches that are pure entertainment. And I can't even imagine the cost of those. We're here to preach biblical messages that you guys can understand, that you can find in the Bible. I shared a few times with you guys. I went to a service one time and the pastor did not once refer to a scripture in the Bible. Talked about all these things he wanted for the church, but never once read a scripture. I thought, how does that happen? We want you to believe in what you're reading. The Lord is calling. And He's calling, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Our response should be, here am I, send me. Let me ask, church, is that your response? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today that You choose to use us. But Lord, that we are open to Your calling. God, that we hear Your Word. We search Your Word. We believe Your Word. God, we acknowledge today that You're still calling Christians. You're calling us to serve. God, I pray today that as a group of believers, we respond more often, "Here am I." That we respond more often, "I hear you, Lord, your servant." God, as we search for an awakening, sometimes that awakening is reminding us to serve you and to serve others. God, we know that you want the best for us. We know and acknowledge that you are a good, good Father. God, I pray today that we reflect you more today than we did yesterday. And that tomorrow we reflect you more than we did today. Lord, that we continue to be your ambassador. We continue to be your representative. God, that our work ethic in doing so increases. God, that you grow us as disciples, as followers, as believers, as newborn Christians, that you grow us from where we are today, that we apply these things today. Lord, I pray today that we are transformed by the reading and studying and hearing of your word through the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.